Okay, today's daf is Mi'ila daf Yud Dalet. Mi'ila Yud Dalet, and we are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis by the last Mishnah, or not the last daf, actually not the last Mishnah, in the third parak, here, Mesechas Mi'ila Parak Vlachatos, as we continue in the parak about what is subject to Mi'ila, what is not subject to Mi'ila. Says the Mishnah, Hakan Sheberosha Ilon Shel Hektish, Lonanin V'lamualin. So this Mishnah talks about two cases, which on the surface, as we see, seem to have different halachas. As we'll see, L'maskana, at the end of the Gemara, there is no difference between them. It just is expressed in different ways. But right now, it seems like there's a difference between them. So the Khan, you have a bird's nest. Shabarosha Elon, Shel Hektish, at the top of a Hektish tree. Somebody was Makdish, a tree of Hektish. Lonanin V'lamualin. So there is no Isser D'Oraisa of Mi'ila in those cases, by the nest. Unclear in the Mishnah, where did the bird get its materials to make the nest? Was it from this tree? Was it from another tree? That is not clear. But the Mishnah says that this Khan has no Isser D'Oraisa Mi'ila, but L'chadchila D'Rabbanan, one should not benefit from it. Lonanin V'lamualin. Sheba Ashera, if somebody has an Ashera tree, which is also off limits, Hektish is Asur Bahana, and Ashera is Asur Bahana. An Ashera and Avodah Zara tree, Yat is Bakana, so that he has to knock down the nest with a stick. Yat is Bakana, he can't climb up, because that would be benefiting from the Ashera tree. If he wants the nest, he's got to knock it down. Rashi says, Shemenu yachol lagia biyado lakan, yapa bakan hakan laharetz, avalo yale le'ilon, v'yikachenu. You can't go up and take it. Shelo yanem min ha'ilon ba'aliyaso, kisha'ole olav. You can't go up. So the Mishnah says that by a Hektish tree, Isser mi'il, no Isser mi'ila, but there is an Isser hana of the kan, and the Ashera, it sounds like, you could be it's more makel. Right, by a Hektish tree, nothing, it's off limits. Lo nehenin. By an Ashera tree, you can knock it down with a stick. As long as you don't climb the tree where you're benefiting actually from the tree, if you could get the nest down without benefiting directly from the tree, that is okay. And then the last line, Hamakdish es hachoresh mo'alin bekulo. Somebody has makdish an entire forest, so then there is Isser mi'ila in all of it. What's all of it? The trees, the leaves, the branches, well, everything that is in the forest has an Isser Hana'a to it. You can't be ground is it's Bechur Emilo Bakarkos. So there's no Emilo by the Karka itself. Mechubur Lakarka is a Shaila. That's the only Shaila that Gemara talks about elsewhere. Mechubur Lakarka, do you say Harayuka Karka or not? That we've discussed in various contexts that there are different halachas. And you have to look in each one, is it a din of Karka or is it a din of Mechubar? Discussed by Mi'ila, by the connection of Avadim and Karka, by Karka in an Exeles, all those have to be discussed. Whenever Ashira comes up, it's good to remember the important Ma'amar of the Meshech Chachma in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, one of his major Parshios that he has some Yisodos in. So there in Parsha Shoftim, he points out that the Torah tells us, Lo Sita Lecha Ashira Kaleitz, Eitzel Mizbach, Hashem Alokech, Asher Ta'asa Lecha. Don't plant that Ashera next to the Mizbeach. That's what it says. Even though we might not be able to plant that Ashera ever, it's an Avodah Zarah tree, but specifically the Torah formulates it next to the Mizbeach. So he wonders why Ha'inyan. He starts off by like that. He says, this is the issue. Ki ha-karbanos afki imachela gadol mi-ha-Torah, even though the karbanos take up a large quantity of the Torah, v'ha-Torah karasam lachmi li-ishai pa'amim rabos, and it's called God's bread, so to speak, v'chol zos, no dalanu adar misana muskal, but we know logically, ki ha-borei kol eno nizam u'uma. God doesn't need our karbanos. We don't really give anything to Hashem with our karbanos. He doesn't get anything from our actions. God hasn't changed since before he created the world. Before the world was here and after the world was here, Hashem's the same. Nothing has changed. And that's what the Nevi'im discuss. He quotes Eov, he quotes Micha. It's all for us. It's all to teach us lessons. It's all for us to get ideas gleaned from the various halachos. Avalabor yisparach kamoshe nutzarach l'shleimus kol ha-metzius, kachin nutzarach l'shleimus pu'ulasam. Ve'hadvarim amukim. That is part one, that karbanos do not change God. And he says that's why Ben Azai says at the end of Maseches Menachos that throughout the section of karbanos at the beginning of Vayikra, you never find Kel or Elokim. Kel or Elokim, which do reflect Midas Hadin or Midas Arachamim, which represents some connection between man and God, some relationship. Hashem never uses those words. Those shemos of Hashem in beginning of Vayikra. Why? Because Elokim, Midas Hadin, you might think, oh, I did something wrong, so I really have to give something to Hashem because I took something. I rebelled. So Hashem doesn't want us to think that's the only name of Hashem that is used there is Yud Kei Vav Kei Hayahov Aviyah. He is independent. That is the Shem Hashem that is used by Karbanos. V'yim Kein, and he says, Lo Yitachem B'Seicha Lomak Yu Makabal Hazana V'Tosefes. Is it possible for him to get anything out of us? Fine. Related to this now, that's all background, now he gets to our issue, Ulaharos Kavanazu, to reflect this, Hashem says, Mizbach Avanim Ta'aseli. The Mizbach has to be made out of stone. Why out of stone? Why not eights? Why not eights? Why not wood? Because wood grows. Wood develops. A rock is a rock. It's unchanging. Says the Meshech Chachma, Mizbeach is a rock to make sure we know the message, God is unchanging. God is like a rock, so God, not Sur Yisrael has different connotations. So here, God is a rock, and that's the message. When we bring Karbanos, we should realize, we're not really changing Hashem. We're changing ourselves, just like Tefillah. Right, just like Tefillah. Tefillah doesn't change Hashem, but it changes us. Kein kolin yana karbanotu lo lesibas hazana v'atosefes b'shlei muso. And that's why, all trees should not be planted next to the Mizbeach. But specifically in Asherah, where does the word Asherah comes from? Kamo she'im mis'ashrim me'acherim. Asherah from the word osher. Somebody who gets sustained and happy from others. That's Asherah. Asherah really doesn't do anything for you. Right? It's Asherah tree. Really, it gets from others. Mit'ashrim me'acherim. So you can't plant that Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. That's the message of Asherah. And then he continues beautifully. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us. If somebody appoints in a Dayan She'eino Hagun, it's as if he planted an Asherah next to the Mizbeach. What is the connection between being a mom and a Dayan She'eino Hagun? Dayan She'eino Hagun, why do you appoint an improper judge? Because a person gets smeared a little bit. It gets a little shochad. He says, that's why. So he says, that's exactly the point of planting an Asherah. That's undermining the message. And a Mizbeach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a Dayan should be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unchanging, unfazed by who the parties are and who's in the courtroom. So he says that's the connection. If I appoint a Dayan that's inappropriate, which means basically it's because I took Shochad, so that's the same thing as planting an Asherah, Eitzel Mizbeach. Kamo she'in labor yizbarach shum to'elos ba'karbanos, ken ya'us li'os ba'hamishpat. La'ashofet, shegam hu yishpot lolo matarach hutzi, rak la'emes ha'tachliti. Yekol iuno, and that's why it says, of course, the Gemara, "Kol mamad dinu shenah hagin, kilo mamad asherah eitzel mizbeach." Again, there's a lot here, but that's the important Meshech Chachma in Shoftim, one of the ones in Shoftim, and it relates to asherah as we have in our Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah says, an asherah tree, if you have a bird's nest on the top of the asherah tree, if you could get it down with a stick, just knock it down. And by a hektish tree, it seems to say that it is aser. Period. Good. Itmar, says the Gemara, we have a machlokas amoraim. Avodas kochavim shen nishtabra me'eleha. If there is an idol that got broken by itself, we know the halacha is, if there is an idol that is owned by a Jew, it is usher forever. There's no way to remove the status of Avodah Zarah, and it's usher forever. You can never get benefit from it, you have to destroy it, you have to burn it. But if there is an idol of an Avodah Zarah, if there's an idol of a non-Jew, so then the halacha is that if the non-Jew is mevatel it, if he nullifies it, then the status of Avodah Zarah is removed, and therefore I would be able to get benefit from it. It loses the status of Avodah Zarah. But again, only Avodah Zarah of a goy. So what happens if you have an Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew that got broken by itself? The non-Jew didn't take a hammer and smash it. It got broken by itself. Is that good enough? If it got broken by itself, is that enough of an act of bittul? Says the Gemara Tzimachlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura, Reish Lakash Amar Muteris. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura. Rabbi Yochanan says it's still Asur, even if it got broken by itself. Delo Batzla Ovid Kochavim. Because the Ovid Kochavim wasn't mevatel it. Lamaisa. It broke by itself. Reish Lakash Amar Muteris. Why? Meimar Amar. Because the guy is going to think to himself, he gufalo matzla, l'didi matzla li. It didn't save itself. It's It's going to save me? So you can assume it's an umtana, right? Like the story in Shmuel Aleph, when the Aron was taken and by the Plishtim and his hands were chopped off and he was falling on the ground. It took him a while to get the message, but eventually they got the message. So Rish Lakish says it's mutter because once it's broken, so mamela, we can assume that bittul took place. That's an important machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. First of all, machlokas Rishonim. Do we have to? What happens if you find the idol broken? Do we have to know? Says the Gemara. The Ritva. The Ritva Avodah Zarah quotes this machlokas. Tosfos in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Aleph, says the machlokas is even if it's found shavur. You don't know how it became broken. It's found shavur, so even there's a machlokas. That's what Rashi says. If you look in the Ritva, there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Aleph, he says, no, Pirish Sha'anu Yodin Kain, where we know it was Nishbar Me'elah, that's where the machlokas, V'stama Pligi, Bein Ishtaber Befanav, Bein Shalom Befanav, V'achin Mucha Sugya Behedya. The Ritva says the machlokas is where it got broken before me or not, but I know it was broken. But if it was Nimsa, you don't know what happened to it, and there's a chance that the guy broke it, you don't know, said even Rabbi Yochanan would be Motel LaHakel, that it is mutter. Machlokas number one. Machlokas over there in Masechta Avodah Zarah. If you look in Rav Yashiv here, Rav Yashiv discusses this issue, and he quotes, L'chora tzorach shehagoy yeda shenishbra. Does the non-Jew have to know that it was broken? Da'al yedezem av'al lo bilibo. Right? This is the machlokas that we just quoted. Right? Because if he doesn't know about it, then how does the Rish Lakish's old svara work? Meber Amar. So you have to assume that he knows about it. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. Maybe that's a right with the Sfirah Lekain. Amnam HaRamban Atzmo. I just read it to you from the Ritva. Cholek. The Sfirah Lekain. No. The Ein Tzorach Shehagoy Yeda Shenishtabra U'Batla Me'atzma. No, he doesn't have to know about it. He doesn't have to know about it. How does it work? So Yashav says, it works like Yeish Shalomidas. If you know, there are sometimes that there is an event that occurs that you know that once the person finds out about it, he's going to have a certain reaction. That's good enough. So just like Yeish Shalomidas, in the case, Elam Metzias, if I find something on the ground that the person who lost it does not know about it yet, that he lost it. But I know that once he finds out about it, that he lost it, he's going to have Yeish. He's going to give up on it. So there are two. Machlokas Abaye and Rava. We pass like Abaye. It's one of the six cases. Yal Kagam. That's the first one. Yud. Yeish Shalomidas. That's... So we paskin like a baya there that have a yeish. So therefore, it says Rav Yashiv here too. By bir bazed, I think about yeish lo midas. The ba'avuda mimenu mikol adam lekuliyama have a yeish. Or this is lekuliyama. If it is something that is everybody would give up hope. So too. So here too, the Gemara assumes, says Rav Yashiv, that meimer amar, even if the person, the svar of Rish Lakish is that even if the guy does not know about it, says he's going to give up hope and be mevatel, and in his mind, that is going to be good enough. Fine. V'yesh v'ayim, but then he asks a very interesting question. According to the Ramban, if it gets broken, even if he doesn't know about it, so then how do you ever fulfill the mitzvah of destroying Avodah Zarah? There's a mitzvah. P'sile Elohim tisrafun ba'esh. The second that you start breaking it, we assume this automatic bittul of the Avodah Zarah by the guy, and Mamela, it's not Avodah Zarah anymore as you burn it. So you'll never be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Psilei Elitis Ravon Ba'esh. Because the second that you start breaking it, it's automatically Mavutal, it's no longer Avodah Zarah, so by the time you get to a few minutes from now and you burn it, so then you're not doing the mitzvah. Right, it's similar to, right, what, do you want to say the first step is the mitzvah? Tisrafun Ba'esh. So you'll never be able to do Sreifa the second that you start breaking it. Or you have to throw it into a fire hole. That's the only time that it's going to be subject, you could be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Ha-be'emsa Sreifa mispatelas Avodah Zarah. V'lo miskayemes bodin Sreifa. V'tzarech lomer, what must you say? D'miyad b'tchila Sreifa mekayemes a mitzvah. Av kodim shenase efer v'sreifaso u'bitulo boim ke'echad. And they somehow it happens, but I would have understood before we came to today's shiur that what does it mean to surrender by ash? You have to destroy it till it's ashes and nothing's left. But says Rav Yashiv, you see from here the fact that it loses its status of Avodah Zarah the second that it's broken, the second that it's starting to be destroyed. So then, here too, you would have to say that's how you fulfill the mitzvah daraisa of sreifas avodah zara, not at the final stage, but at the earlier stage.
This is only talking about
me'ila. But here, you, the Jew, is doing it.
If the guy sees,
but he's also not doing it. Me'ila means the guy is not doing it. Right, even if a Jew, does that. Final ha'ara, and that is the Sfasemis just wonders how this even could work. Look at the top Rashi, for example, he says. Delo bitla. Right, what does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan Sfar, he wasn't mevatel it, Rashi says. Shailo bitlo v'kochadim beferish. He wasn't mevatel it. What does that sound like from Rashi? If, Rashi in quotes, again the Mefarish, if he would have been mevatel beferish, it would be good enough. As the Sfasemis, there are many other sources that say that you need an action done by the guy. Not just a bitol bepeh. So I don't understand even the flip side. Beferish, and if it was Beferish, it should be good enough? I still don't think it should be good enough. So Sfasemis leaves the whole sugya a little bit sarachian, how the other Gemara seem to say that you need a bitol bemaisa. So how is it that the bitol bedibur would be able to work? Any maven dvarav, the filo bitlo beferish lo mahani, rak b'maisa, rak reish lakish mahani maisa de memela. Oh, a filo shibur yisrael mahani, bidina de reish lakish. Avalo Rabbi Yochanan, dehi devadi lo chashuva, zu eitz lahakam, bikom akam, kod lo bitlo b'maisa, shvuro bizayon lo mahani. So he just wonders what, see, this Rabbi Yochanan is. According to Rashi, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan would agree if it would have been mevutal beferish. Either, what does it have to do with us? So now we're going to get to that right now. So we have a machlokah between Rabbi Yochanan and reish lakish. If an avodah zarah is broken by itself, memela. So Rabbi Yochanan says it is still aser. Reish Lakish says it is mutter. So aser Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish, yes, Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. Hakancha brosh ha'ilon shel hektish einan ve malin. If you have a bird's nest on top of an avodah zarah tree, so there's still the hektish tree einan ve malin. There is no isra of meila, but there's still an isra hanad rabbanan. Shebasher yathas bakana and asherit tree the avodah zarah tree, so that you could get off with a stick. So my love, what's the case? Where did the bird get his materials for the nest from? Where did he get his branches and leaves? So my love to isbar migufa. Aren't we talking about a case where the bird broke off from this tree itself? The bird took the materials for the nest. Viktani yat is bakana, and it still says you can knock it down with a nest. 1 second, Reish Lakish answered Rabbi Yochanan. According to you, you say that it's aser, even nishtabru me'ei leha. But here, this is nishtabru me'ei leha. The nest is part of the avodah zarah. It was amrei leha, and you say it's mutter. You can just get it down. The actual tree, fine. We're talking about the seifa, right? That's what we're being medayi from. The actual tree is an asherah tree. You can't get benefit from it. But the nest is broken, made up of broken pieces. According to you, Reish Lakish, how can it be mutter? Yathis bakana, shouldn't it be mutter to get benefit from it? That's the kasha that Reish Lakish asked his brother-in-law. Answers the Gemara, lo. Oh, you're right, it's not true. The icy eitzim me'alma. No, the case is where that the bird brought materials from outside, from other trees, from materials from the outside, from there. So the nest is not made of a asherah tree. So that's why the nest is mutter. It's not made of an asherah tree. Stop there for a second. Machlokas Rambam Ravid here. Do you have to know that the bird brought it from elsewhere? What if you don't know? The IC Eitzime Alma. If you look at the Rambam doesn't make such a fuss about this. He just says it, but he doesn't specify that it is limited. The Rambam says in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Hakan Atzma Sheberosha Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Mipnei Shehaof. Maybe Eitzav Imakom Acher, because the bird brings. Doesn't say the bird brought. Shari Ha'Of Maybe Eitzav Imakom Acher. It sounds like if you read the Rambam very closely, you don't have to know for sure, but the bird brings materials from elsewhere. That's good enough. Suffolk Asherah tree nest is mutter according to the Rambam, even though usually you Suffolk Daraisa Lachumra. Suffolk Asherah tree is mutter. Says the Ravid Amar Avram Dafka Shehavi Imakom Acher. No, dafka. You have to have brought it from you have to know for sure. Dafka shehevi. Says the Kesem Mishnah. Ava klomar, tikagon da icy eitzim, mashma le dainu lomar, debina shenaita da icy mealma. Ava manastam, chayshid and shemem oso ilon shem. For abenu mashma le, tikiva de derech rova ofos. Lahavi atse kineh me'alma. Since most birds bring it from outside, that's a rove. You could rely on the fact that it came from the outside. If you look in the back of the Frankel Rambam, in the Sefer Likutim, the Pri Chadash is quoted, Af mi pshata sugi nirik edivri ha-raivid. He said, the Raivid fits in better to the text of the Gemara, the Rambam fits in better to the logic of the Gemara. That's the Pri Chadash Ha'ara. The Raivid sounds better in the Sugya, that it's Dafka Kishi Yadua, right? What does the Gemara say? Shehivia mi makam acher. Sounds like we know that. Sounds like we know that. Sounds like the Raivid's right. But mikol makom, the Rambam sounds like he's misvara. Why? What's the svara? Divrei harav near an ikker. Midamrim beperek lo yachbor. Because it says in Baba Basra, rov vikarov, halach acha harov. Comes up in the beginning of Beis as well. If you have a contradiction between a majority and a proximity, rov would tell me A, but karov would tell me B. That's exactly this case. Karov would tell me he got it from this tree. Rov would tell me he got it from outside. We paskin halach acha harov. You go after the rove, the Gemara says there, why? Bochan and another Achronim explain, because rove is a birur. According to many, rove is mevarer, exactly what happened. And we've discussed many times, that whenever there is a stalemate in halacha, and there are rules and regulations, what to do in the state of a suffix, so there are different ways to function. In Dini Mamanis, we say, Amos HaMechaver Lavaraya. In suffix Tumah, we say, Birshas HaYachid, Tameh, and Birshas HaRabim, Tahar. In cases of Isser, Savay Doraisa L'chumra, Savay Dorabana L'kula. So there are always different ways to break the stalemate. But the Achronim mention that these are different categories of din. Some of them are what we call, we really don't know what the halacha is. We have no idea, we don't know what the mitzias is. But you know what? Do this to break the stalemate. That's called hachra'ah. To be machria, so that you don't stand still. Right? You know what to do, so, you know, just do this. That's generally tum and tar. It's assumed that Rosh Hashanah Yachid Tameh, Rosh Hashanah Rabim Tar, that's a hachra. Why? Because is there any more chance, better chance that in Rosh Hashanah Yachid there was tuma? No, that's hachra. But on the other hand, there's something like Hamotzeh Mechaveh Olav Araya, which many assume is like Birur. No, this clears up. It's not just you don't know what to do, so do this. No, for sure. If I have a shirt on and you say, give me my shirt, and I say, no, it's mine, and you have to prove it, it's my shirt. It's Birur unless you prove it. What about this case? Rove and Karov. So some suggest it goes as based on our Svara. Rove is based on Birur. If there's a rove of something, no, Mistama, that's what happened. Karov. Who says that's Birur? So it's in proximity here. Who said the bird got it from here? So what that it's closer? Who says birds are lazy? So therefore, rove of Karov, if it's Karov, so that we would trust Karov, but if it's rove against Karov, we say, Holech Acharov. So says the Pri Chadash, Birur versus Bitzachra, and that's the Svara for the Rambam. The Rambam who says that even if you don't know for sure, it's good enough, because rove birds bring it from outside, and therefore it would be good enough. Okay, so that's the Gemara says right now. The Gemara asks, isn't our Mishnah against Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan says it is asur, and here this bird nest is mutter. The answer is no. Our nest is a case where you got birds, you got wood from outside. Good. We're going to go with our girsa of the Gemara. There are different girsos, so we're going to go with ours. Ihachi asks the Gemara. If it's true, if the case is that you got wood from outside, ihachi amai shel hektish einanin velo malin, vein malin. Because if it's from outside, so why would there be an isser hana by hektish, even drabanan? It's the bird's nest is made up of stam hetyot wood. So why would we say by hektish einanin? Right, it came from outside. So the Gemara says ella, just the opposite. Bikidulin abon lachemikan. No, it has to be growths of the tree that came from within. It's from the tree itself. It's growth that came after you amakdish it. You amakdish this tree, and then things grew, and then the bird took those branches and made a nest out of it. And vikasavar, and the Mishnah holds, ein molin bigidulin. The Mishnah holds, there's no mi'ilu when it comes to gidulin, and that's why, by the bird's nest, we say ein molin, ein nanin. So this is a drabanan to get mi'ila from the gidulin, from what grows from hektish. But ein molin bigidulin. And achrami mistavra, it makes sense that we're talking about a case where the bird made the nest from the tree itself. Deisaka daita ta'ise me'alma, because if it came from elsewhere, amayatas bakana, lishkale mishka. So why do you have to even knock it down, which sounds like you're not allowed to even get benefit from this nest, only what's in it. Lishkale mishka, just take it. If you got it from Me'alma, so the whole nest is mutter. You're not just trying to get from what's in. The whole nest you could use. From the fact that it says knock it down with a stick, it sounds like maybe the nest also is somewhat problematic, and you just want to get to what's in the nest. So the Gemara says at this stage it must be, it's from within. If it's from within, so then we're back to the problem on Rabbi Yochanan. If it's from within, why isn't this called broken, and therefore the whole thing should be mutter? Rabbi Yochanan says Nishma Me'eleha is Asur. So Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. No, let's go back. La'olam. Really, the Aisim Me'alma. Again, there are, the box changes the gears here. We're just going with ours. Really, the Aisim Me'alma came from outside. And you have to add in some words here. And there's a gzera on any branches that are on this tree. Durabanan, atu, you might come to benefit from the tree. That's the issue. Really, it came Me'alma. What was our question before? Aye, so why would there be any issue with the nest by Hekdesh? Durabanan! You might come to benefit from the tree. So we have an issue, Durabanan, that even a nest that comes Me'alma, you're not allowed to get benefit from. Umayatiz? Aye, so what are you begging down the nest for? If we just said it's an issue, Durabanan. Yatiz Ephrochim. It means you want the chicks inside. Not the nest. The nest is off limits, Durabanan. But you want the chicks inside. That's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. Amar lei Rabbi Yaakov l'Rabbi Yirmiya. And now Rabbi Yaakov says to Rabbi Yirmiya, you know what said, ends up the halacha being in this Mishnah? Efrochim kanvakan mutarin. Beitzim kanvakan asurim. Really, there's no difference between Asherah and Hekdesh, it comes out. It just seems that way from the Mishnah. The chicks are always mutter, because they're not part of the tree. They're a separate entity. Beitzim, the eggs are asur. We'll see why. We'll see why eggs are asur. And Amar Ravashi, im efrochim tzrichan iman ke beitzim damu. And if they're very young chicks that can't fly yet, that also they're like eggs, which are asur. We'll talk about this far in a minute. But even before we get there, why, if there's no difference between Asherah and Hekdesh then, that the nest is always Asur Durabanan, because it's also Me'alma, while the chicks are Mutter, and the eggs are Asur, so why does the Mishnah formulate it as if it's giving the impression that there is a difference in between Asherah and Hekdesh? It's just to tell me the added Chiddush by each of them. If you want to look in Rashi, Rashi quotes, what's the added Chiddush of each of these? Rashi quotes this, the last few lines of the, where's the Rashi? Rashi says, one second. Yeah, Rashi says that by Asherah, I want to tell me that even though you might have thought that Avodah Zarah is totally off limits and it's totally chi of Srefa, Afal Pikein Yatis Bakana. It's telling you the chiddush of the heter of Asherah, because you would have thought it's totally off limits. And by Hekdesh, which you wouldn't have thought that it's totally off limits, that's why it says lo nana v'lo mo'alin. Rashi says you would have thought the opposite direction, and instead it says it that way so that we would have the chiddush by Hekdesh and by Asherah. One final point, just a question, Rav Yashiv also notes here, we know there are some other sources, Gemara Bavasra and elsewhere, that there's Kinyan Chatzer, according to some Rishonim, when it comes to Hekdesh. What happens if we have this recently, if I'm Makdish a pit, an empty pit of in my backyard, and it fills up with rainwater. Is that rainwater, is that Niskadesh? Is there a Kinyan Chatzer by Hekdesh? That's a Machlokas Rishonim elsewhere, but some Rishonim say there's Kinyan Chatzer by Hekdesh. They ask Rav Yashiv, so this whole Gemara, why don't we say the nest becomes Niskadesh because it's owned by Hekdesh now? Because of Kinyan Chatzer by Hekdesh. That's his Ha'ara. Doesn't answer it. Just says that's his Ha'ara. It comes up, by the way, the Halakha L'maisa. What happens if you find something in a shul? Sometimes in a coat room, in Chutz La'aretz more, in a coat room there's a coat that's there for 6 months. Whose does it become? Does Hekdesh come? Let's say I find money in the hallway of a shul. Does it automatic? Most people I think would pick it up and put it in stucca anyway. But Me'ikar Adin, is there a Kinyan Chatzer when it comes to a shul? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. It's the Magen Avraham. It's Simin Kuf Nun Dalet. Matzah Davar B'Chatzar Beis HaKnesses O B'Beis HaKnesses Zachabo. V'lo Amrina D'Yikne HaChatzer LaHekdesh. The person can pick it up. You don't say it goes to Hekdesh. The Chatzer Kone Mitam Yad Ein Yad LaHekdesh. We say from Magen Gibarim Chatzav Yish Deos Bein Rishona Baze Ayin Sham Machlokas Rishonim. But again, that's this issue that Rav Yashiv brings up here. that possibly, you know, this Gemara could be a little difficult according to the Rishonim that say that there is a kenyachatzer when it comes to hektish. Okay, let us, final point. So why are the eggs usser? Why are the eggs usser? What do they have to do with the tree? Why are the eggs usser? So if you look in Rashi says they're like the tree. Rashi on the last skinny line. Kanvakan asert mishum delo naidi. They don't move. But srichin le'ilon uki'ilon atzmodami. They're like the tree itself. The efrochin, they're like bottle to the tree. If they can't get out of the tree, they have the same deedim as the tree. Mashaykein, the chicks that are not connected to the tree. I'm sorry, that's why I couldn't find it before. Tosfos is the one that says the chiddush by each one in the formulation. Tosfos Imras Lefrochin, he talks about why it says lonanin by hektish and yatis bakana by asherah, as I said, but that's Tosfos says it, not Rashi. So number one, Rashi says it's ki'ilon dami. Tosfos says, you know why you're not allowed to take the eggs? Gzeira shemayale. Maybe you'll go up and climb the tree. If they're chicks, you're not going to worry because you're going to shoo them away and they'll fly them away. You don't need to make gzeiras. By the eggs, you have to make a gzeira. Rambam, in that same Rambam that I read before in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he gives a third svara. Why? Similar to Rashi. But why are the eggs usser? Remember, the eggs have nothing to do with hektish, Avodah Zarah. Why should eggs be usser? Says the Rambam, Sharia Hashera kimo basis lahem. Basis. Well, that's a Hilchos Shabbos word for muksa. The Rambam uses it here. Harei ha'asherah kemo basis lahem. There are buses to the eggs, and the Ravid just throws in 1/4 shot for us. Amar Avram ha'yelo lomar mepnei shehin kigidule asherah. Gidule asherah. Gidule don't have to be a natural outgrowth. It could be anything that came here that is we could have foreseen that it's here. So eggs could be gidulin of a tree. Not just branches. Interesting. Four shittas, and then we're showing him why exactly the eggs are usser and the birds are mutter. We go weiter. Says the Mishnah. Hagis barin, once we had the last line in the previous Mishnah, that if a makdish, a whole forest, the entire forest becomes belonging to hektish. Hagis barin, shalachu etzim. What happened? Gizbars got by hektish that bought wood. They bought some wood to use for building. For building in the base of Mikdash, mo'alin be'etzim, there's me'ila only by the wood. Ve'in mo'alin, there's no me'ila lo b'shifui v'lo b'nevaya. By the sawdust, that's like on the ground after you took the lumber, and the nevaya, the leaves on the floor, that there's no me'ila there. You could assume that the gabbai base of Mikdash only was interested in the wood, which was the most useful, and they didn't have in mind something that is not good for binyan. We're not talking about wood being used for firewood here. We're talking about wood being used for binyan, and therefore, there is no me'ila except by the actual wood. Good. Amar Shmuel. So we're going to relate back to our Mishnah on Amud Beis, but first we're going to quote Shmuel. Bonin b'chol v'achirach makdishin. Shmuel says a statement. When they used to build the base, when they were building the base of Mikdash, when they were building the Azar, when they were building all the places, when they built it, it did not have Kedusha yet. They did not imbue it with Kedusha until after it was built. They built it, it still was Chol. It still did not have sanctity. Right? Harabayis, any of the walls that we're talking about. Bonim b'chol v'acharkach makdishin. The question is, my taima, why? Why did they do this? Why? So we're going to have two svaras. Why does Shmuel say that bonim b'chol v'acharkach makdishin? Tosfos notes that how did this work? It means that they paid on credit. The Beis HaMikdash took the wood and did not pay yet. They did not pay yet, and they held off with paying. We're going to have to see in a second what they actually did to pay. But they took it, and the suppliers, obviously, weren't worried that they're going to get their money back from the Beis HaMikdash. So they gave the materials without getting paid yet. So my time, oh, why did they do this? So man de misnadev ma'os, what happened? Because when one was misnadev ma'os, mikadesh lehu, da amar techo kedusha ma'os abinyin, v'yavlu luman in bischaran. First translated, when one was misnadev ma'os, mikadesh lehu, they sanctified the money, da amar, or it says on the side, they would want to be sanctify the money. Lefichach sarach sheyomar techo kedushas mos abinyin v'yavlohun leumnin bischaran. What exactly did they do? The problem is, if they had money, if the Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbarin, took money that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, and they paid the workers with it, or they paid the suppliers with it that would not remove the sanctity of the money. So that would not help the people who supplied or worked. Because Tosfos says the principle is that money could only be desanctified on an object, not on work. And therefore, if somebody does work for the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash takes money and pays them with it, so they're going to have Hektish money in their house. They don't want Hektish money. They want Hedyot money. They want Chulin money. So what do? So says the Gemara, this is Shad of Shmuel, what they did was when they built the walls, they did not sanctify the walls yet. They left it Chulin. Then, when the Gizbarin were about, they wanted to pay the workers, both the workers and the suppliers, what they did was they took their Hektish money and they desanctified it onto the wall. And they sanctified the wall from the Kedusha of the money that they were about to give to the workers. Now they have Chulin money and they give it to the workers and the suppliers. That's why they left the walls unsanctified. Because they needed to have an unsanctified item in order to be mechalo, the kedusha of the money, onto the walls. That's the first svara of Shmuel. They left it open so that you can have something. There aren't so many desanctified items that the Beis HaMikdash is using. So the walls were desanctified. They take the money before they want to pay. They switch the kedusha. Boom, and everything. Shalom al Yisrael. We have a Mishnah in Mesechta Shkalim, which we discussed a few months ago back in Croesus. Remember the Ketores. They produce Ketores every year. And if you remember, the Gemara in Croesus on the above said they always had extra. They produced about 368. And remember how many Ketores, how much Ketores they used every year, and they are left over every year. They are left over 11 every year because of the solar calendar, the lunar calendar. The Kohen Gadol used a little bit extra on Yom Kippur, but they always had left over. The Gemara says even once every 60, 70 years, they only had to make half the amount of Ketores that they usually made because they had left over from all of the years. The problem was, though, if you have leftover Ketores, you can't use that for the following year because every year's Ketores must be bought with the new money, with the machzis hashekel that was collected. So, how do I get to be able to use the ketores that the Beis HaMikdash still has from this year's money? How do I do that? So that's the Mishnah in Shkalim. What do you do? Moser ketores mayu o simba. What did they do? So, ayu mafrishen mimenas char ha'umnin u'machalanosan al ma'os ha'umnin v'nostinosan lo'umnin v'chozim notosan mishumas chadasha. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that Tosfos even explains it step by step. What do? First, I take money. I take money, schar ha'umnin. Look at Tosfos on the third skinny line in Tosfos. Ma'ayu osin mi'osu ha'mosar. Number one, mafrishen schar ha'umnin mimo'os ha'lishka. I take money from the lishka, from the collection. Umizak osan de'echer b'shvel ha'umnin. And I'm zochit on behalf of the workers. Here, the Shid Mekubetzes here explains, this money now that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, you're zoch it on behalf of the workers for the work they did. You can. This is the only time that you could switch the Kedusha money onto work done. Why? Because of the principle of Lev Bezin Masna Alehem. There's no other choice. So inherently, when Bnei Yisrael are makdish this money every year, the Machzis HaShekel, inherent in that Hakdasha is that at the end of the year, Bezdin is allowed to do the following procedure in order to make sure that they could buy the Ketores back. So this is usually, we say, Ein Mechalin Al HaMalacha, but here the Shita explains that we are Mechalo. So step one is the Beis HaMikdash takes money, and they mezoch it on behalf of the workers. So now they have Chulin money. Then what do? U'mechalin ha'ktores al osim ha'mos shezacha bahem b'shvel ha'umnim. Then I take this chulin money and I switch the kedusha onto the ktores. The ktores now is chulin and the money becomes sanctified. And what do then? Step three, I give the ktores to the workers as their payment. I give the ktores to their workers. It's chulin ktores and I have sanctified money. So the money they say that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Then I take the new machzis hashekels and I buy the ketores from the workers, swishing the kedusha. Now the money is chulin and the ketores becomes kadosh by being given to the Beis HaMikdash. So that is this whole procedure is stated by the Mishnah in Shkalim. How do we buy the machzis? How do we buy the ketores with the new shkalim?
Even if it's chulin, are they allowed to own it?
The ketores. Ores is chulin. They own it. Yeah, it's fine. The only isser is to making the Torahs to be used for the Beis HaMikdash, but they could own it. So that's what the Mishnah says. So now the Gemara says, 1 minute. Why do I need this whole procedure? Didn't we say that according to Shmuel, they left the walls unsanctified? So just be desanctify the Ketoros onto the walls too. We have to have this whole procedure for with the Ketoros and the buying it back. V'yamai, lichli abinyin. Just use the walls again. Simple. Lamar says, deloik abinyin. Well, maybe there's a time. They're not always building the Beis HaMikdash. So there is no binyin. I v'ham mos homniktani. What do you mean? It says the money for the workers. What workers do you have? Don't you have workers that are working on the binyin? Gemara says, delek abinyin kashir ma'os. There's not enough. There's not enough. You have the amount that you have to pay the workers is worth more than the amount of wall that you have unconsecrated. And that's why you have to have another option that allows you to create this chilo. Says the Gemara, finishing up this section, remember Shmuel for 1 second. But Shmuel himself says, Hekdish Shavamana Shechilo Shavapruta Mechulo. As we've had before, Shmuel says that Hekdish, that's worth a lot. You could be mechalel on something that's worth even very little. Parentheses. Remember, we use this today in terms of chilul, maaser sheni, and netar ravai. We don't do it shave b'shave. Because after all, we're not using it. We're throwing it out. So, Shmuel said it by hektish, but Bali Tosfos and the Rambam quoted by Hilchas Zrayim also. So Shmuel says, you could do it even less. So why don't we take all of the money, even on a tiny amount of the wall? What do you mean the wall's not enough? So Gemara said, no, hani mili dieved, lechachila, lo. No, lechachila, he doesn't say to do it, except on shavet b'shavet. So that's why we wouldn't rely on this. Adkan, this is the end of section one. What's the svar for Shmuel? That they first built the walls, bachol, and then they will makadish it, in order to leave it open, so that they would be able to pay their workers properly. That is number one. Just by the way, Tosfos is mayor. It's very hard to imagine that the payment that you have to give to the workers are going to be more than the wall itself is worth. Just says a little Sarah Ian on that. Well, we're talking about diamond workers, which have a very high wage. Well, walls. So he says a little Sarah Ian exactly why that would be. Either way, number one. Number two, though. Rav Papa Amar. A totally different Svara. And this maybe is what we would have said if you would have asked us. Why do you say that they built it b'chol while they're building it? Hainu taima. Debona b'chol. Lo nitna tor l'malachei asharis. Because the Torah was not given to angels. Meaning, if I'm building it and it's very sunny outside, it's very probable that I'm going to try to use the shade of this wall that I'm building in the interim. Or, let's say I'm going to eat my lunch leaning on the wall. So, Amri, Dilma, Boila, Mizga, Vazogalai, you might come to sit on it. Ibana, Bekutsha, Ishtachach, Tukamaya, Bekutsha. And if you build it, Bekodesh, so then it's going to violate Me'ila. And you have to give these workers, you have to understand where they're coming from. So that's why it's simple, right? There's no, they do this to save people from the Isser of Me'ila. And even though we usually say, we're not misakein takanas for Rishayim, we're not talking about Rishayim here. We're talking about regular workers that we have to understand where they're coming from. Period. So now we get to what this has to do with us, our Mishnah. Hagizbar shalach wasa eitzim, molim behenvi molim blo b'shifi blo b'nevaya. What did our Mishnah say? That the workers, when they buy the wood, there's Me'ila. By the wood. Not by the shavings, but there's Mila by the wood. 1 minute. The Mila by the wood, we're talking about using wood for binyan. Via my molin bahan. Didn't we just say there's no Mila? Hachanami, levin bachol. Why don't we should say that there's no Mila right away when they buy this wood. Amri, the Dilma, boy, the Mizga, Vizaga, Alayho. Maybe they'll want to sit and they'll sit on it. Vishtaka, to come Moel, Bekachim. Maybe they're going to violate Mila. So why does our Mishnah say that there's going to be Me'ila right by the, when they buy this wood, there shouldn't be Me'ila. Then I come to sit on it. So Amar Papa, no. Ibe eats him to be kind of Eila Chachanami. If we're talking about wood that's going to be used later on, you're right. There wouldn't be an Isser Me'ila there. Ella, Kitan B'Mastisan, in the Mishnah, you know what we're talking about? Be eats him to Yome. We're talking about wood that's going to be used that day. So that day, we don't have to make takanas for that. We don't have to assume they're going to violate Me'ila improperly that day. But you're right, Nachinami, if it's going to be used in the future, so then it is, there is not going to be Me'ila. The principle of Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachei Ashares is used comes up in many different areas. Comes up here, comes up, we mentioned just a few weeks ago, the Minchas Chinuch about the concept of E.F. Shalat Samtsem, about fulfilling the mitzvah of Matzah, or from violating the Isra of making the Ketores and the Shemana Mishcha, even though we can't be exact, we can be exact enough to violate those Isra. But it comes up elsewhere as well. The Aruch HaShulchan, in Hilchos Tfilah, The Aruch HaShulchan says, right, the halacha is that we know that even if we're supposed to have kavanah for all Shmona Esrei, and if not, at least for the first bracha. What happens if we didn't have kavanah for the first bracha? What do we pass in Zman Hazeh? We don't repeat anyway. We don't repeat because the Shulchan Aruch says we might not have kavanah then the next time either. So, you know, we don't repeat anyway. The Rambam, by the way, never says any of these halachas. Rambam never says the halachas about, you know, you don't repeat. You're gonna, he has a very high ideal standard of what people could do. But the Aruch HaShulchan says in Hilchas Tefillah, in Hilchas Kavanah, he says, the tefillah is called Lefnei HaMelech. Lefi Zeh Tzarich Lahachin Atzmo Al HaKavanah Ne'osa La'amod Lefnei Melech Malchei HaMelechim. V'al Kol Zeh, if even so, you're talking to the king, Im Ba'amdo B'tefillah Nizbabo LaKavanaso Lo Nitna Torah LaMalachei HaShareis. Umay Yuchal La'aso, what can we do? V'lachin Ein Anu Chozrim B'shvil Chisar and Kavanah. We don't go back. But if not even when I start, I don't even try to get myself to have kavana, there's nothing more brazen. There's nothing more disgusting. I don't even try. Okay, if it happens, it happens. But I don't even try. If you didn't even try, but if you start having kavanah, you realize you're davening, and then, you know, what can I do? So then it is understandable, and that's what he says. We say, Yasalanu Musr Gadol, La'osam Anashim Abam Me Rechov Lebeis HaKnesses, Belishim Derech Eretz, Belishim Achonexas. People who zoom into shul and quickly start davening. He says, how can we do that? Ezer Regom V'chot Finu Mispalim V'inam Yodim V'in Yeminam L'smalam. I have no idea what's going on. They zoom in. We have to sit for 3-4 for a minute just to get us into the davening mode. Because if we rush in, says the Aruch HaShulchan, without thinking and then don't have kavana, then it's our fault. And that's tfiloso toeva, and then we would have to go back. It's only if we're ready to daven and then we lose it, so that would be understandable. Or just one other example, Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva in Yechavadas, Aleph Yurches. When he's talking about checking vegetables for bugs. And he says, you got certain vegetables, you have to do the best you can. Certain vegetables are known to have tons, so maybe you should stay away from them. But a vegetable like lettuce, which can be checked, you know, and you soak them and do this and that he says, you have a chiyuv to do that. But once you do what you're supposed to do, don't make yourself crazy. And don't, like, try to take out a microscope. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharis. And realize that you did the best you can, and then you can enjoy yourself. And therefore, you don't have to worry about it. Okay? He said you want to use a magnifying glass. Says he has no chiyuv to use a magnifying glass. Not even a microscope. For sure not a microscope. But not even a magnifying glass. You have to go by what one can see with the naked eye. Okay, we'll have to stop here. And B'ez Hashem, we will continue B'ez Hashem with the fourth parak of Maseches Me'ilah in the coming days. B'ez Hashem will continue tomorrow. And we'll stop here.